The Tier We Go podcast, brought to you by The Tier We Go Industries. No, I'm just used to, I've done so many podcasts brought to you by AWS Energy that it just rolls off the tongue. And it's been so long since we've done a But Here We Go podcast.
It's only been a couple weeks, hasn't it?
It has only been a couple weeks.
I was about to say.
But since then, I've recorded a few
other shows. Sounds like your priorities need to change. Sounds like you're putting another podcast at a higher priority than this one.
Nothing is more important than the But Here We Go podcast.
Okay. Start proving it. Just kidding.
I made sure that we podcasted tonight.
I know. I really.
We even had technical difficulties.
I know.
And you're falling asleep.
I wish I could crawl up in my bed.
I said, no, Allie, we have to podcast.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Did you come prepared with anything to talk about this evening?
I said we could talk about everything. Everything under the sun.
Because once again, Allie Battier has a list of articles.
That's the show's MO.
Well, I better start beginning. I can't even speak tonight. Did you just hear what I said?
I better start beginning
a paycheck.
I don't know if beginning is a
good idea. I decided to talk like chicks begetting.
Chicks begetting? What?
I was going to say we're going to be like Shakespeare tonight, but then I got confused because I was like, is begetting a bad word? Why can't I say begetting?
I don't know. It's just a very specific word.
Am I not using it correctly?
I have no idea. Uh-huh. Remember, I'm a math guy, not an English guy.
You can't throw a flag on the play and then just be like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, well, let's get into this. What everything would you like to talk about?
What everything would I like to talk about? How about this rain we've been having?
How boring. Let's not talk about that.
Okay. You know, just talk about the weather.
Oh my gosh. Do we want to?
We can turn this into a weather podcast.
Do you want to talk about Halloween? Do you want to talk about my pink eye? Or do you want to talk about the five articles that I have?
Let's talk about Halloween.
Okay.
I was thinking about this today because despite what you may have thought, and I don't know what you thought.
About what?
So we were at Jake's school fall festival, which is basically a whole school Halloween party.
Right.
And my impression was that most of the parents did not try. I felt like
Of their Halloween costumes or in terms of like
Halloween costumes. Halloween costumes.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And it got me thinking, because this is obviously this is my first time at one of these fall festivals, as far as I remember. Maybe we had them before when I was growing up. I don't know. But all that to say, this was my first time recognizing that Jake dresses up, but us as parents also kind of dress up. Like, we both dressed up.
Well, I'm going to stop you there. I hate dressing up.
Yes, I recognize that.
Right. And so I only dressed up today for the carnival because I was running a booth. If we were just showing up as like regular participants, I would not have dressed up for this. So, but that's on me. I just feel, I have this nervous tic where I have to be appropriately dressed to every situation. And you'd think like wearing a costume to a carnival would like make sense to be appropriately dressed. But here's the thing. If not all the parents are wearing costumes, you have the potential of making a fool of yourself. So I side on the caution of I'm just going to dress regular so I don't make a fool of myself.
That seems like it is trying to fit in with the
right,
cool crowd.
Which is confusing because I don't care about fitting in and I'm fine being different, but there's just this, it's not about fitting in. I do not like being inappropriately dressed for events. Like I take dress codes very seriously and it gives me anxiety when I'm not matching the dress code. And so that's where it's coming from, is like I want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not because I'm going to make myself look like an idiot. Just I want to do what is expected of me.
Yeah. So you would probably hate this thing that I'm going to in the next few days, but get to that. We'll get to that. So as we talk about dressing up for Halloween specifically, I've noticed, well, I haven't noticed. What I've been thinking about is, as parents, is it our job or should we be dressing up, even if we're like taking Jake around to do trick-or-treating? Do we dress up as parents?
That's a great question. Because I really don't, it's hard because I really love when people do family costumes. And we've done family costumes in the past.
True.
And that was fun. Like, I like that. We did not do it last year. Last year, Jake was Spider-Man, and I didn't dress up when we went trick-or-treating. This year, Jacob requested to be a pillow.
Yeah.
And so, and truthfully, I don't think he cares if we're dressing up or not. I think he's just really, really jazzed about being a pillow. And so, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know people who like love dressing up for Halloween. And so I just assume those are the parents that are dressed up are the people who growing up were like loved it and are just continuing to do it as an adult, as opposed to me. I'm not a big dress up person. I don't know. Are you saying like, did you threw on clothes tonight to look like a cowboy?
Correct.
But they were just normal clothes.
Correct.
With a cowboy hat. But did you feel like you were dressing up as opposed to the other parents who weren't dressing up?
Yeah. Yeah. I was dressing up.
Right. But you weren't wearing like a Spider-Man outfit.
No, I wasn't. But I don't typically walk around as a cowboy.
I will agree to disagree.
What, you think I walk around like a cowboy?
We've gone two-stepping a number of times to where you've worn. That's like a two-stepping outfit.
It is. It's a two-stepping
outfit. But anyway, what are you getting at? Does it annoy you that parents don't dress up at these things?
No. I think it was one of those things that as we are entering this phase of Jake actually going trick-or-treating, and while we still have to be with him, is that something that is, I don't know, some way representative of the parents, whether they dress up or not, and their level of parenting. I don't know.
Their something level like that. Of parenting?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. It's just a thought that maybe...
Is there a correlation?
Like, there's a correlation between the parents who dress up XYZ. That's what I'm
So you're collecting data to see if there's a correlation, but you don't quite know what you're trying to correlate.
Correct.
Got it. Interesting. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But also, when you look at all of the parents, even the ones who are running booths and the parents who are just showing up, there's a level of actual dress up where people are all in on it.
Right.
Which I think is...
Right. There's a lady dressed as Beetlejuice tonight.
And those are the people who are all in on Halloween.
Right.
I would think.
Right.
And then there are the people who don't dress up at all. That's fine.
I am one of those people at times.
They're just like there. They're not huge fans of Halloween. No big deal. It's fine if you don't like Halloween. And then there's like this middle ground of... We dress up, as you pointed out earlier, you dressed up because you were running a booth, which is almost like you're doing it as a service to the children.
Yes, I didn't do it for me. I did it for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's like a spectrum there of the people who still like put on a funny hat and a ballerina skirt. And they're like, oh, look at me. I'm dressed up. And they like care less, but they feel they see some type of obligation, so they do something.
Right.
Yeah, that's all.
Do you remember, it was like our first or second, I don't even think it was an official date, I put in air quotes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you and I were seeing each other. Yeah, yeah, we were talking, and it was Halloween. And you invited me to a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember what I wore to that Halloween party?
You wore your dance outfit.
Right. I wore my country western dance uniform because I don't do Halloween.
And that's all and you had.
I was like, it's a cowgirl costume. And I put it on and I went. That is my mentality for Halloween. Yeah. And it has been forever.
Yeah. That's better than the guy who's like, look at me. I'm a guy. I'm a regular guy. And they're just wearing their normal clothes.
Oh, that's annoying. That's just what just some say you're not dressing up.
Or people who will like go and like they'll bring a remote control with them or like a gamer controller. They're like, oh, look at me, I'm a gamer.
Right.
It's like, oh, so you took your remote, your control from your Xbox. Right. Cool.
This may be a hot take and I feel free to push back. I'm not committed to this opinion. It's just something I'm working out live in real time. I am kind of tired of like these like Walmart cheap Halloween costumes. Like they're just not fun. They're not original. And they're just like basic, for lack of a better term. And I feel like I've just offended half the people listening to this, all three of you. But I really appreciate like a good homemade outfit or like, or at the very least, honestly, a gamer guy, just like bring your game controller, maybe with like a little bit more creativity. I would take that. Like, I think it's funny when people are punny or are creative or whatever. Though I hesitate to say that opinion though, because I do recognize that like not everybody has the time or resources or even creativity to come up with and then execute a homemade costume. So like, I don't want, like, no judgment, you know, if you work three jobs and you can't, it arguably may cost less money to buy an Iron Man outfit from Walmart than to spend all the money on craft supplies from Joann's or Michael's to make a homemade costume.
Yeah.
So
I think there are different levels of the costume. And that's what you're getting at there, is that you can go to Walmart, you can buy the thing that's like 10, 15, 20 bucks, and you can kind of feel the part and be like, yeah, look at me, I'm a costume guy.
Right.
And I do feel like that is one of the reasons that Spider-Man and like the big like Hulk suits are really popular right now, because they're so easy. And now, like, everybody wants to be Spider-Man.
Right.
Which is so great. Because it's like, right, okay, we're just going to buy you a leotard suit and
But wouldn't have it you be like it a leotard suit? Wouldn't it kind of be fun, though? Like, if, like, it was like an unspoken expectation in, like, a fun way, like a rite of passage way, a way that kids could all get excited that when they turned 11, like, they had to actually, like, every kid was responsible for making their own costume. And they would have to, like, actually, like, you know, try and get creative. And then it would be this huge celebration on Halloween night of, wow, like, you've worked really hard on this. And like, oh, I see where you're doing. I don't know. I just feel like Halloween can be more than just consumerism and getting candy thrown at you for your stupid Walmart costume.
It's a very
idealistic.
It's very
too idealistic.
Interesting thought.
Okay.
Because it's, I think, puns and
plays. It doesn't have to be punny.
But punny plays on words. Playing on words and building or making your own original costumes, those are very specific skill sets, right, or styles of comedy or styles of interaction with other humans, and not everybody does that.
I know.
So I think there is a level of your idealistic world and what you would do is completely different.
I guess I am crafty. This is like my normal day and everyone else is probably hating everything I'm saying. It's fine.
And this goes back to the retreats that we would do with our boys and girls at Shoreline and Wake. Because you would do things like, was it you 1 year you were a wall, or was that a different
What
group?
Are you talking
Remember the no. awkward family photo?
Oh, we were awkward family
photo. So you were awkward family photo, yes, 1 year. then
we were the guys from what was that? They were the dudes with all the beards, Duck Dynasty guys.
Oh, y'all were Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, ones? This is the bad part. This is a wormhole of a story, but it must be said because it is one of my crowning achievement moments of my life. Sixth grade, we were like, we're so smart, we're going to be the Duck Dynasty guys, and it's be so funny. All us little sixth grade girls with Duck Dynasty beards on. We were one of five other groups dressed up as Duck all Dynasty girls. That year. Right. Next year, we ain't going to, no, we're going to be more creative this year. We're gonna be minions. We're going to be minions, and then my co-leader dressed up as Gru with a ball cap and everything. Hilarious. One of three or four groups that were minions, and we were arguably the worst group that were minions. So it was like insult upon insult. And so then, eighth grade year, last year of middle school, last year of going to the retreat on Halloween weekend, so the last time we will do this costume contest, we are going to be the best. So then we decided to do awkward family photo where we all got jean on jean. I was the mom. My co-leader was the dad. She brought back the ball cap. And we had someone cut out in poster board a Polaroid like camera frame. And we were awkward family photo. And we won the entire Halloween contest. And we won a Froyo party for our entire small group. And they have not given us that Froyo party to this day. These girls are 22 years old. One of them is getting married in March, and we still talk about the fact that we never got our Froyo party. So if you're listening to this and you work for the student ministries at our church, you owe us this, like, a very large amount of frozen yogurt.
A very large amount.
Very large amount.
That is
to make up for it. We got to, you know, compound it over the years.
Inflation.
Right.
10 years of inflation on Froyo.
Right.
What was a 4-ounce small serving for one person is now 40 ounces. Yeah,
you have to now buy us a Yummalicious store.
You have to buy at least 3 gallons of Froyo.
Anyway, we digress.
But I think that gets to your point of those
were fun because they all
unique costumes are the ones that people remembered.
Well, and even for that costume contest, like, everybody came and were creative. And I think maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Not all of them were creative.
Okay, not all of them. Okay.
But there were
like
a few
my
that were
first
funny.
2 years. But I mean, you know, there was like an attempt at it. I don't know. Maybe people just need to do group costumes. I don't know.
I mean, group costumes seem like they work. But like, Jake.
But I do love a little 3-year-old in a Spider-Man outfit. So I'm not hating on it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
And I think Jake this year is a great example. For anybody who doesn't know, he's a pillow for Halloween.
Right. I mentioned that about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, but maybe people didn't catch it.
Right.
So I'm being very clear here. He's a pillow.
Right. I got 2 pillowcases from the thrift store and sewed them together with stuffing, and he goes inside of the pillow.
And now here's the thing. In the costume contest at school, which we just had at this fall festival, he did not win a prize for the kindergarten and under.
Right, and he entered himself willingly into this class without us prompting him.
But here's the hard part here. We had parents, we had teachers, we had older children all telling him how awesome his costume was. Now, I don't think
he deserved to win this contest.
I think he did.
What?
Because he clearly had the most creative.
But how? It's just a pillowcase. How is that creative?
Well, how is that not creative when you've got 4 people who are Pikachu?
I guess that's a good point.
Although there was a Pikachu Mario. That's pretty creative.
That's
a mashup that I've never saw coming. And there was another
did
little
all
boy.
Wait, do did all the children enter the contest?
I mean, there were
that's
at
kind
least
of
20
sweet.
People up there.
Because I was telling you, like, I was so proud of him because I would have never. You could not have paid me money in elementary school to enter a Halloween contest.
Yeah.
There's no way. And he went up there and he was pumped about it.
There were like 20 up there.
Wow.
So it was a good number.
Wow.
But all that to say, I think people recognized the creativity of being an inanimate object. They recognized that, but because it is just a pillow
right.
and him in a pillowcase with arguably three holes.
Right.
There's a level of
it was so simple.
Invalidation,
right,
of the complexity and the uniqueness and the creativity of his costume.
Right.
And I think that's where you start to lose it, because that's what you're saying. The creativity part is cool. Everybody recognized that creativity that he had in his costume. But for some reason, he didn't even get top three.
Well, and I think that's kind of what you just said helps me, because what I'm trying to verbalize is I guess kids can't really do this because their frontal lobes haven't developed this much. But I love, like, whenever they do, like, the 2023 Halloween costumes. And, like, the 2022, where it's like, you picked a thing. Like, this year, I promise you, someone's dressing up as a submersible visiting the Titanic. And I cannot wait till that photo surfaces, because that's freaking hilarious. I've seen multiple videos of girls dressing up as chair pants guy from the Jury Duty show, which I think is hilarious. They actually made the chair pants from that character in the show Jury Duty.
Oh, chair pants guy.
Yes. I think that is hilarious. And I love, like, yeah, like, everyone's like, oh man, like, everyone's dressing up as like Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. But I kind of love it, because it's a Halloween costume you can't ever do again. Like, you have to do it this year, because it's so like kind of like the Hanging Chad Halloween costume. Yeah. Remember the Hanging Chad, which is funny because, like, I feel like people will still do the Hanging Chad costume. But that's what I like. It's like, there's a moment in time. You can look back at this year, and there are only a certain number of Halloween costumes that you can do this year before you can't really do them again. I love these Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
But I guess you really have to be kind of an adult to really appreciate those.
But what you can do is you can be your own thing, like David S. Pumpkins.
I love David S. Pumpkins.
You could be your own. You could be your own thing.
Right.
But
just be my own thing.
It takes a lot of effort.
It does take a lot of effort. It
takes an entire writing team, which, you know, most people don't have right now.
Yeah, it's true.
All of Hollywood doesn't have one.
Oh my gosh, good thing we're not SAG members. I almost got a SAG card once.
Oh man, then we wouldn't be able to do this.
We wouldn't be able to do the podcast.
Oh, I am so glad that I'm not part of a union.
Or is it just paid stuff?
That's a good question.
Anyway, let's move on. I got lots of articles. And We support it.
All the strikes that are occurring
Every single one of them.
Everybody who's striking, we support
Even
you.
Even that guy at the bowling alley down the street.
Whatever you're striking, we support you. We even support the strikers who are against the strikers.
Right. Fair wages.
Don't come at us.
Please don't. We're too small of a podcast for this.
We don't have any.
We have no money.
We haven't even started a bank account.
So, wait, what? For what, the podcast?
For the podcast.
Oh, I was like, we have a bank account.
Don't come at us.
Oh my gosh, are you ready?
What, are we going to talk about something now?
I have five articles to get through.
Remember when I said we're going to talk about everything?
I know.
See, look at, we're 23 minutes in.
I know.
And we haven't even gotten to your articles.
No, I know.
Look at that.
Okay, so it's been a while.
You say I don't bring anything.
I know, it's okay. I'm going to say this super dramatic, but I'm assuming you've already heard this story before. And if not, happy day for me. Do you want to guess what it is?
Is this a... Does Joe know?
No, I don't think there's anyone in here that... Well, maybe. I don't know. Are you ready? Dramatic music. The moon may be 40 million years older than previously thought. Is that my point for you? This is what I think is funny. 40 million in science, like, talk.
In geology talk.
Is not that long, right?
Not really.
Right.
No.
And so when I saw the article, I was like, well, dang, that sounds like a big mess up. But then I'm like, well, technically, I mean, how old do they think the moon is again?
It's like 3.1 billion
years
old. Right.
So this is almost like a margin of error difference, possibly. Or is this because of the moon dust that we got back from the astronauts?
Are you talking about the stuff we just got from an
asteroid? Yeah, we just got.
From an asteroid.
Yeah. Oh, that was from an asteroid. Yeah,
no, this won't be related to that.
Do you know Jenica Greer of the University of Glasgow?
No, I don't talk to...
I would be shocked if you did.
I don't talk to too many academics from the UK.
Oh.
I do talk to some, though.
Do you really?
Shout out to Megan and Helen.
Just Megan and Helen.
Shout out to all those other people who have sent me messages on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's so sweet. Anyway, that's it. It's 40 million. I mean, at this point, I don't trust their data. Watch, 2 weeks from now, it's another 40 million years older.
What? Did you just read the title? There's nothing deeper in there. Do you want the actual?
Okay.
I'm just curious, like, where they're coming up with that.
It has shown, oh God, the way that this is written. Hold on. Scientists made their discovery by studying crystals within lunar dust that was brought back in 1972 as part of the Apollo 17 mission. Around 100 million years after the formation of the solar system, when the planets had already formed, is thought that a Mars-sized body struck Earth, ejecting a large mass of material that eventually became the moon. The energy involved in the impact meant its surface was initially molten as the lunar magma ocean cooled the material. Blah, 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 blah.
So it's an appetite.
However,
fission track?
Pinning down. What?
Is that what they're using to base it on?
It doesn't say that. Are they doing, what did you call it?
Appetite fission track dating.
Yeah, that's this. This is the Guardian. They're not going to get that into the mumbo jumbo. No. It just is talking about it.
Cool.
It's nothing. Okay.
And so it turns out I was way off
with your moon age.
Yeah, the moon age. Then
how often are you using the age of the moon in your everyday life?
I'm gonna go with. Without directly referring to it, maybe once a month.
What?
But like, just...
Wait,
just,
why? Just, wait, do like, you need to change your data at this point? Do you need to go crunch some new numbers?
No,
not that...
No, just like in general. Recently, there was some conversation about the moon and talking about how the moon looks different. Or like... So, we were talking about the moon because of the... lunar eclipse or the solar eclipse occurring and something that, and then we were talking about how during an eclipse, the speed of rotation of the Earth actually changes.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
And because of the way the moon and the sun are positioned
with each other? Wow.
Against in relation to the
so
Earth.
So does it make the ocean like wave weird?
I mean, yes, in the sense that all the tides are related to the location of the sun and the moon, more so the moon. But all of that is also related to the fact that the moon has been slowly moving away and slowly slowing down ever since that first, ever since it got ejected from the Earth. So the moon... And somebody pointed this out a while ago. The moon that Shakespeare looked at while he was writing things like Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. and talks about the moon in that, mm-hmm. that is in fact a different in a relative
theory,
sense.
Right.
Like that is a different mood than what we look at today, 200 years later.
Because it's farther or it's closer to us.
It's further away from us.
Now.
It is slowly moving away.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just different in the sense of its distance.
Yeah. And then what you can see because of that and how it's interacting with the Earth because it's further away. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that does 40 million years change that? Yeah. But it's not something that I'm like, oh, well, 40 million years. Now I must change all of these numbers. I don't use it in any of my models.
I'm glad because you didn't know about the story, so that would be embarrassing for you.
It would be. If it was a
serious
point.
I definitely need not be the one to tell you and keep you up to date on science news. Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, this one I'm kind of jazzed about because I would love nothing more than for the Loch Ness Monster to exist. I'm convinced it could. Are you ready? Monster hunters are conducting the largest search of Loch Ness in more than 50 years. Have you seen that there's been like a couple of sightings of Loch Ness lately? Researchers and monster hunters are gathering in the UK's Scottish Highlands this weekend to look for the eternally elusive Loch Ness monster. Somewhere beneath the shimmering surface of Loch Ness, that blah, 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 blah. Our purpose is to observe, record, and study the natural behavior of the loch and phenomena that may be challenging to explain. Have they not just done like a complete like scan of this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have already.
So they,
I think, a few times.
So they have confirmed it's empty, or is it? What is a loch? Is it like a pool? Is it connected to a large body of water? Is it?
I think a loch is a Scottish name for a lake.
So it's landlocked.
Yes.
So in theory, if they scanned it and found nothing, that would be conclusive evidence that there was not a Loch Ness monster.
Unless there was something
like a cave.
Inconclusive. Yeah, like Lockie could go, or I guess Nessie. Nessie could go hide out in a cave, maybe, if there was one. But she could also just be a little smudge on the scans.
Is 788 feet deep for a lake?
It's pretty deep.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty deep.
Yeah. It is. So, fun story, Lake Superior, I think it is.
Right.
The deepest point in Lake Superior is only like 40 feet. And that's a...
That's not very deep at all.
It's a huge lake.
There's like Olympic pools that are that deep.
Yeah. But the deepest lake in the world is Lake Baikal, which is actually a failed rift zone, which is in Siberia. There's a guy I know.
I loved how you were like one of our, and then you caught yourself because I've never met this man in my life and I have no idea who you're talking
about. There's a guy I know named Andrew.
Okay.
He grew up
in the Loch Ness,
somewhat close to Lake Baikal. Like they would go there during the summer. But when I say somewhat close, I think it was like several hours, like 4 or 5 hours away. But they would go there in like summer there. You know, back when people would go summer somewhere. We don't summer anywhere. No,
that's for the rich folk.
I think people still do that thing, but we never have.
No.
I don't go summer. I summer in Dallas. I also winter in Dallas.
Really? Because I have fall and spring in Dallas too.
How? We don't have fall and spring.
It's that one day.
Gotcha.
Okay, you ready?
Ready for what?
This article took me for a ride.
Why? Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. I know it doesn't appear that I read the articles before I share them on the air, but I do in fact read some of them. This one I did, and let me tell you, Netflix will be making a movie shortly.
I'm excited to cancel Netflix because they keep raising the prices.
Okay. Man missing at sea for nearly 2 weeks found alive in life raft off the Washington coast. So the reason why I grabbed this is I feel like there have been a large uptick in like random like people getting lost in things. Like people are getting lost in forest, I feel like a lot more often. People are getting lost in oceans a lot more often. I'm like, guys, why?
Oceans plural?
Yeah, there's multiple different oceans. We got your Pacific, we got your Indian, we got your Atlantic.
I haven't heard about any of those people, though.
Well, this is one of them.
This is one
okay,
guy.
So then I was like, okay, well, what was he doing, and why was there only one man?
He was on shrooms, wasn't he?
One of two men missing at sea for nearly 2 weeks was found alive on Thursday by a Canadian fishing boat in a life raft in Canadian waters. Hold on, let me get to the interesting part. Okay. So then I was like, wait a minute. Whoa. What about the other guy? The man was found by a Canadian fishing boat in Canadian waters. Blah, blah, blah. He's in stable condition. At this time, another person remains missing, and the incident remains under investigation, according to the U.S. Coast Guard, who apparently is in Canadian waters. When asked if the U.S. Coast Guard would resume the search for the missing mariner, the guy said, "We're waiting to hear more information to gather along eyewitness accounts and statements from the person found to determine what future action we can take or the Canadian Coast Guard may take. And it was a 43-foot vessel with two people aboard. It was a fishing vessel. And then it says, on Wednesday, the service said it has suspended the search, quote, pending the development of new information, end quote, after crews search over 14,000 square miles. So then I'm like, did this man kill this other man? Is this a murder on a boat? I simply must have more information about this.
Why were there only two people
on a large on a 43-foot
fishing boat
for 2 to 3 weeks?
And where'd the fish go?
Where'd the fish go?
Yeah. Where'd the fish go? That's a lot of fish to be lost at sea. Do you think they caught a lot of fish and
it sunk the boat?
It's kind of like that one movie, The Perfect Storm.
Yes, that movie is traumatic for me. They had a boat
full of fish.
Right. Sunk the bottom of the ocean. And
then it's all gone.
That's like... On TikTok, there's like this trend where like they'll give you a fun fact, but it's not a fun fact. And one of my favorite...
They're funny.
One of my favorites, it's like, did you know that the Titanic swimming pool is still full of water? Just like stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, funny. I don't know why that made me think of it. Sorry, hold on. My throat is dry from cheering on a sack race at the carnival. You didn't think that was funny. But anyway, I want to know what's up with this fishing boat.
Yeah, I think it's
this
it's
sounds like a whodunit.
I think that sounds different than what I was going to say when you started asking, why are so many people getting lost nowadays?
Right.
My theory is that people feel like they need to prove themselves or feel like they want to, quote unquote, unplug. And they literally
are not adequately prepared.
Yeah. And they try to go and do this super granola, off the grid, self-discovery thing. And they ultimately end up getting lost and dying.
Right. But that's what I think is funny. And again, maybe it's just because I am severely neurotic and have high anxiety, but like that is like the definition of stupid to me.
But I think that you're right. That's not a thing that you would do. I feel like there's a lot of people who would do that.
And they just like not understand the risks that like, are they just like that wealthy or like have that much free time on their hands that they can just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go hike the Appalachians with zero experience. I'm not even going to bring a phone, GPS, or compass because I'm going to do this on my own. Like, that's just dumb.
I think there's a lot of ignorance. And I right. say that using the definition of ignorance, meaning right. lack of understanding, when it comes to going out into the wild. It's very, very easy to get yourself into a bad position. And redundancy and backup plans is part of being able to survive and being prepared. But that's not something that people think about when they're like, oh, I just need to get away from technology. I just need a time.
A cleanse. Technology cleanse.
And that's not, people don't think like, oh yeah, my phone is actually there to save me. I'm going to leave it in airplane mode in my backpack. They just think, oh, it'll be fine in the car because I'm not going to use it. And that is like, it's an ignorant way to look at it.
So I guess you're just assuming that those are the people that are getting lost.
Maybe.
Like these people on the fishing boat.
Well, no, that's different because
they were fishing. 43-foot
fishing vessel. There's a lot. That probably has a lot of GPS, a lot of fancy
right, and it's gone.
Gadgets. Yeah. Was there a mayday call? Was there anything?
I don't know. It's still under investigation. But I do know I have another story for you.
Okay, let's hear the next story.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah, moving
on. This one I chuckled about.
Okay, moving on to the chuckling.
Owner reunited with her dog that roamed the Atlanta airport for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Look at this cute little dog. This little guy, Maya the dog, was just roaming the Atlanta airport for 3 weeks.
How did that dog just roam the airport for 3 weeks?
That's what I'm saying. No one saw this dog. If you see a dog in an airport, I always notice them because you don't see them very often. They're usually service dogs. And then two, if you see one by itself just roaming and that's your new Pixar movie, is Maya the dog roaming the airport for 3 weeks. But she just got reunited with Paula.
I do see that being almost more possible because it was at an airport. Because at an airport, most everybody is either coming or going.
Right.
They're not a staple person there, except for the workers. But like, were the workers just feeding this dog and like, oh, this dog's so cute?
I have a story.
You got more information? Let's hear it.
Paula Rodriguez was traveling from her home in the Dominican Republic to San Francisco for vacation when things took a turn for the worse. Her visa was canceled and she had to spend the night in a detention center before a return flight home the following day. Talk about a bad day. But when Rodriguez went to board her flight home, Maya, her dog, was nowhere to be found. And border enforcement officers demanded she get on her flight without her dog. 2 days later, Delta Airlines told Rodriguez the dog was on her way to the plane when staff opened her crate and she escaped, which sounds like an inside job if you ask me. Oh gosh, hold on. Pop of that. Oh God, it moved. Delta said in a statement that the airline worked with airport staff to search for the dog, including, quote, around-the-clock, end quote, visual searches as conditions allowed, and nighttime searches with night vision goggles.
Wow.
According to a GoFundMe page shared by Rodriguez's sister, Maya and her owner have been inseparable for 7 years. Which is probably why Maya so desperately broke through her kennel bag when they were separated. She needed to get back to Paula, especially after a very stressful travel.
Yeah.
It just says, she spent the rest of the day getting the runaround from... No, that's not it. I guess she just got found.
It's a funny story. One of those things that sounds like a...
It's a Pixar movie.
Yeah, it's a Pixar movie.
It's like the movie The Terminal, but with a dog.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's not stuck there. He just happens to be there.
Yeah.
Moving on?
And then he finally gets to go home.
I don't think he did. He died recently, by the way.
No.
The dog.
I'm talking about the dog.
I'm talking about Tom Hanks' character in The Terminal.
No, he left.
I know, but he died in real life. That guy, because it was based on a true story. He was back in the airport.
Illegal immigrant?
He like had some like psychological... No, something was wrong. Something was like he like had a hard... Something happened in his life.
And he moved back to the airport?
Something like that. I don't know.
And then he just lived at the airport forever?
I don't know. I got to... Stay tuned. That'll be next episode. Yeah. I have this last... I technically have two, but the last one is the World Championships of Cheese, which honestly...
Ooh, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about them both.
Okay. We're back to the Coast Guard.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Love talking about the Coast Guard.
Arrests a man trying to run a giant hamster wheel across the Atlantic Ocean.
Why'd they arrest him?
Do you want to see it? It's not safe. That's why. That's the Coast Guard's job.
So they were trying to run this thing, and it's just...
I just listen to this first sentence.
Okay.
Try as he might, Reza Bellucci can't reach his destination without running afoul of the U.S. Coast Guard. The key problem is his vessel, a giant floating hamster wheel made of buoys and wires, self-propelled by Bellucci running inside.
Yeah.
Bellucci, who lives in, surprise to no one,
Florida.
After being granted asylum from Iran, was taken in by the Coast Guard last week aboard his vessel. Where was he going?
Across the Atlantic.
According to a criminal complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in South Florida, the Coast Guard cutter Valiant came across Bellucci in his homemade vessel about 70 nautical miles east of Tybee. Is it Tybee Island? As the Coast Guard was preparing for Hurricane Franklin, that was a bad idea, sir, Mr. Bellucci, which is not a name from Iran.
No.
It's like an Italian name, right?
Yeah, something like that.
He told officers his destination. You want to know where he's trying to go?
Cuba.
London, England. You think there were drugs involved?
Does he have a GPS?
Bellucci was asked for the vehicle's registration.
That's where he ran afoul.
He said it was registered in Florida, but that he couldn't find the registration.
He just didn't get it registered.
The Coast Guard assessed Bellucci's vessel, known as a hydropod, and determined he was, quote, conducting a manifestly unsafe voyage, end quote. Is that like against the law, is to conduct a manifestly unsafe voyage?
It's probably against the law to be manning a unregistered vehicle.
Oh, God. The officers then approached Bellucci in a small boat and instructed him to join them. They were ending his voyage due to it being unsafe. Bellucci replied that he had a 12-inch knife and would attempt to kill himself if the officers attempted to remove him from his vessel, according to the complaint.
That's probably also against the law.
The officers returned to their ship and stayed nearby. When the officers tried again over the next day or so to get Bellucci to join them on the small boat, Bellucci displayed two knives and threatened to hurt himself if officers boarded his vessel. Bellucci also, quote, threatened to blow himself up, end quote, along with his vessel. The officer saw him holding wires in his hand and believed him. The following day, a second Coast Guard cutter named Campbell arrived and sent a small boat to Bellucci to deliver food, water, and word that the hurricane was expected. I'd watch this movie. Or at least a documentary. Bellucci refused again to leave his vessel and told the officers that the bomb wasn't real. At what point do they just, like, drag this guy? Or, like, how often do we have, like, tranquilizer darts for humans? Or is that considered, like, inhumane or something?
I don't think. I've never heard of somebody getting tranked.
Okay. Well, they finally were able to safely remove him from his floating hamster wheel. And apparently it was not his first try. He's attempted voyages in similar homemade vessels in 2014, 2016, and 2021. It all resulted with the Coast Guard intervening. So this is like...
This is his...
Like, they've got people who are just, like, looking for this man on the open waters at this point.
So, how do you expect...
Hey, look, there is a short documentary about him.
Good. Good. We can watch it.
I can watch it.
I just don't understand, and I've never done the math, I guess, but starting from Florida and hamster wheeling yourself all the way to London, that is more than...
Unrealistic expectations.
That is more than the Appalachian Trail, for sure.
To London?
Yeah, easily.
100% more.
Easily more than the Appalachian Trail. Yet... People, when they do the Appalachian Trail, have multiple planned drops of food and
aren't they take in rest a hamster days. Wheel in the middle of the ocean.
And it takes, for some people, the better part of 6 months to do.
Holy fudge, really?
Yeah, I mean, depending on how fast you're walking, you really don't have a huge window. Some people will start as early as March in Georgia. And that gives you almost to September to finish all the way up in Maine.
It just seems like pointless. Why? It's not even a hard hike. You told me on the last podcast that the Appalachian Trail was created for tourism.
Yeah, it was created to bring in more tourists.
So why are people spending that much time hiking?
But the hike itself is not... I mean, it's still very long. And it's still...
Long does not mean that it's difficult.
It still has some... Some ups and downs. Yeah.
It's got some ups and downs.
It's got some ups and downs.
You're not walking in just a straight field.
Yeah.
It's got some ups and downs.
So it's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. But I think there's some number that you have to average like 12 to 15 miles a day to get it done in a reasonable 4 to 5 months. So all that to say, one of the hardest parts about the Appalachian Trail is the weather.
Okay.
Because you have to beat the weather.
Yeah, with a stick.
Yeah, with a stick. with hamster wheeling across the ocean, there's no way to get supplies. And if you're going to hamster wheel with
a hurricane?
With 6 months of supplies, and sure, a hurricane, how are you ever going to actually move all of those
supplies? Well, there's no way you have 6 months supply of fresh water.
Yeah.
That alone.
You could bring a desalination thing.
Oh.
But that's also a whole lot of work.
Also, keep in mind, he is the propulsion of this.
Yeah.
So he would need to be continuously walking, if not running.
Or has he got a bike in there? That'd be kind of cool.
It's a bike? I don't know. This thing looked tiny. They referred to it as what did they call it? They called it the spinning wheel of doom because of how hot it got.
That's funny.
Okay. Are you ready for the cheese champion?
I don't understand people. But you know, there's something about this guy. You know what it is?
What?
He's not getting lost. People know where he is.
You know what? That's a good point. He's done this multiple times. He's get caught every
time.
People
find him every time.
They find him every time. Is it because they're looking
for
him?
He's 70 miles off the
nautical coast.
Which I feel like that sound like I'm sure that people do that drive every day in a boat.
So he's like in main shipping lanes?
Because
he's
no
still
idea.
70 miles think, off the coast.
I think 70 miles off the coast is just a few hours by boat, like if you're going fishing or something.
I know. I just say, like, they just so happen to come across him. They must be tracking this guy at this point.
Yeah. There's maybe no they've way. Added trackers
he's
to
like,
him.
Curse you. You got me again. Foiled again.
Maybe. All that to say, he's not getting lost.
No,
why is everybody
not.
Else getting lost?
Well, because he's. As crazy as he sounds like he somewhat knows what he's doing in theory.
Yeah.
As opposed to other people.
He needs to
but
hook
he
up
is,
some AC.
He was going straight into a hurricane, though. Need we forget?
Well, he probably...
That was the other side character.
70 miles off, you may not have such good cell reception.
Okay.
So maybe you can't hear about the hurricanes anymore.
Okay. Let me tell you about the 2023 World Cheese Champion before we call it and go to bed.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm not going to be able to pronounce their names, and this is not very exciting.
Where are they from?
Do you want to guess?
They're the World Cheese Champions?
Uh-huh, from the world. Mm-hmm.
I want to say Denmark.
Oh my God, you're so close. They're from Norway.
Oh, okay.
Wow. A Norwegian blue cheese bested contenders from around the world Friday to become the world's new number one cheese.
That's interesting.
The cheese, which is a name I cannot pronounce, but here I go to try. Nidelven Blach. I don't know, BL, and then above the A is a tiny little O. What does that say, Mr. Icelandic? Blach. What?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Nidelven Blach. Blah. I don't know why I'm putting the ch. That's like the Hebrew. From cheesemaker Gangstad Gard Sisteri. Vied against the creme de la creme of the cheese world in Trondheim, Norway, in the world's largest global cheese event. Why did a Norwegian person win the event in Norway? Sounds like...
Cahoots.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to say. Organized by the Guild of Fine Food, the World Cheese Awards, now in its 35th edition, saw experts from across the globe join forces to crown this year's champion. 4,502 cheeses.
Wow.
The highest number ever, arriving by boat, truck, train, and plane, judged by an esteemed panel of cheese experts.
I've got some takes on why it would be in Norway.
Okay. Hold on. Let me describe to you this cheese.
Okay.
It's a semi-solid blue mold cheese made with pasteurized cow's milk.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds apparently it has a sort of creaminess, like real dense fudginess.
Ooh.
Another called it the perfect blue cheese, end quote.
Really?
So not my jam. But, oh, it's got fruity overtones, so maybe really? Some wine-like characteristics that really speak. It's a very unique language. There you go.
Sounds good. We'll never be able to afford it, but
I hate blue cheese.
I do find it unique that blue cheese, a blue cheese, is the winner, because blue cheese is one of those that it's so hard to.
I feel like in Europe, I don't see if like I see them being better about cheeses. We're just all about our cheddar and our American cheese over here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we're more into hard cheeses.
Yeah, we go hard. Hard cheeses. Okay, we're both yawning over here.
But blue cheese, and maybe it is a U.S.-centric thing, but I do feel like blue cheese is it's such a unique flavor and a divisive flavor in that you either love it or you hate it. There are very few people who are like, you know what? I'll have blue cheese dressing. But don't give me anything that starts to sound funny.
Here's my thing. I want to like blue cheese. Like there's some times where I've had just like a very small flavor of blue cheese in a meal and I don't hate it. Like hot wings.
Yeah.
Like a blue cheese ranch dip or something.
Yeah.
I want to like that because it sounds like a great combo. But I hate blue cheese so much.
Interesting.
Does that make sense? Like, I wish my taste buds would follow my heart, you know? But they don't.
What really gets me is when people add blue cheese to steak. Because that's a thing.
That's wildly unnecessary.
That's a thing that people do. And I even saw it this past week when I was at one of my conferences for my 3 weeks of traveling. And there was a topping that you could add to a steak.
You had to pay extra for it?
You had to pay extra.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was like a blue cheese.
From Norway?
And added stuff topping. And I was just like.
Was it good?
Oh, I didn't get the blue cheese topping.
You should have. You weren't paying for it.
No, I'm just like, why would you add that? Yeah, why would you add that to a steak?
I feel like I've seen that on steak before. I've just never heard of paying extra for it.
While I was working
at
Quiznos.
Like a blue cheese burger.
Yeah, blue cheese burger.
Quiznos had blue cheese?
While I was working at Quiznos, there was this thing called the black and blue salad, which was
a terrible name.
Which was black Angus steak and blue cheese. And you would warm up the black Angus steak and blue cheese through the
toaster.
Through the toaster and add that on top of the salad.
Was it popular?
I'm going to say no, mostly because the steak sandwiches and that salad in particular were quite expensive. Typically people were not going there for the,
right.
For the steak sandwiches.
With blue cheese. Right.
Yeah. But that was like the only thing that had blue cheese on it. And we had this
just
big
like
old thing
random
of blue
thing
cheese.
To just like make sure we have the blue cheese stock for that one person.
Yeah.
Decides to order that one sandwich.
Yeah. This one time.
Right.
I did a whiskey and blue cheese tasting.
When was this?
This was ages
what
ago.
What a terrible idea.
No, it actually went out.
For Ali Bettier, I just note to whoever's listening. Do not invite me to a blue cheese and whiskey taste. Like, what would I eat? I hate both of those things. That would be so not fun for me. Continue. Yeah.
So they were pairing whiskeys with blue cheese.
Like different kinds of blue cheese?
Yeah. Yeah. Starting off with your super, super basic, barely blue cheese, something like a gorgonzola.
I don't like gorgonzola sometimes.
Yeah, technically it's a blue cheese. So it was like gorgonzola and something. Then you step up to like something that other people would think are blue cheeses. And then it got progressively more blue and less cheese, basically.
So you're just like straight up eating mold at one point?
It got to the point where the last one was almost like a marbled steak, except it was blue. It was the blue mold. And then this very, very similar to what you were describing there, this semi-soft cheese.
That's the grossest thing you've ever described.
And you eat it and you're like, honestly, it feels and tastes and smells like I am eating a wet mold.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's where you start to get to the point of like
throwing up.
No.
This is straight vomit.
It's just one of those things where you're like, okay, I can like blue cheese, but I like the blue cheese.
You like the cheese blue.
I like semi-hard. I like more on the hard side. Little bit of pungent flavor in my cheese, if you're going to call it blue.
Right.
I'm not interested in getting a shot of penicillin through my mouth.
No one actually wants the blue mold. They want the cheese. That is the most disgusting thing you've told me in a really long time.
It was, that was.
Did we know each other during this or this was before?
No,
we met?
I don't think so.
Okay. You would have told me.
That was one of those where. Nobody, after eating the cheese, nobody was like, that was good cheese. We all...
Was the whiskey that it was paired with good, at least?
Yeah, it was fine.
So funny.
Yeah. You eat that cheese and you're like, okay.
I'm just like imagining like...
I have experienced this.
I'm just imagining like the final one, like if they were to add one after that, it would be like, here's some whiskey. And then you just see like some guy like who's like literally scraping mold off of like the wall in the back. And like swiping it on a plate.
Yeah.
Here you go. It's just,
and that's where I'm like, okay, that cheese being named the best cheese in the world for 2023, I just find that very difficult. I don't see it. But you know what? Everybody else did. And Allie is falling asleep.
I laid down, but then I was struggling to get up.
Well, on that note, I realized we didn't bring it back to what I'm going to be at next week. There's a hard dress code.
Oh.
And by hard dress code, I mean in every single communication that has been sent, they have said, we hate suits.
What?
Please, please do not wear a suit. And then it also said, Tuesday is Halloween.
You have to go dressed up?
It said, Tuesday is Halloween. Feel free to wear a costume.
No, wait, which conference is this?
It doesn't matter.
Can you tell me off air?
Yeah,
off air. This is like a business conference?
And then it was also like, this is in Houston, so Astros gear would be appreciated. And you know what? I was like, I am not from Texas.
Yes, you are. Oh, okay. I guess you're not.
But
if I was going to wear anything, I would go buy some
Rangers gear and put it on because I am not supporting the Astros.
I don't like that they're telling you that you can't wear a suit to a business function.
I just think it's one of those that...
Well, don't plan it on Halloween, people.
This is one of those things where I feel like people really get into a mold or an MO and they're like, yeah, this is us. We're gonna fight against everything else.
The system.
We're gonna be ourselves. And it's like, guys,
but you're not. You're forcing everyone else to be not themselves.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, anyway. Chill.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
What if you... Oh, my God. 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 Can you go for the Halloween costume and dress up as a fancy businessman in a suit? And just say that it's your Halloween costume?
That's a good one. Maybe I could get a big old cowboy hat and put it on, and I can start talking in a southern accent, and act like I'm a tycoon,
like
oil billionaire. Yeah, I'm an oil tycoon.
Or just like over-exaggerate everything. So like go get a clown bow tie. It's like a really big bow tie.
I wanted to. Ugh. That was the discussion because I forgot all my bow ties for this last conference.
Right. And you ready to get a clown.
So there's discussion of getting a clown bow tie. But I didn't. Maybe now's the time.
Speaking of now is the time.
Now is the time we're going to end this, but not before talking about our favorite new sponsor, St. Vincent's thrift store that is subpar. But they had three bow ties that I purchased that I will be wearing either at this upcoming conference or at another conference or somewhere in the near future.
And one is an extremely ugly banana yellow.
One is a punch you in the face banana.
And he got yellow. It anyway.
The color's yellow. Punch you in the face banana yellow. That's what I've named it. I'm really excited to wear these bow ties. I appreciate, despite everything else about this thrift store, I appreciate that they had bow ties. Mm. So, St. Vincent's, kudos to you. That's it.
Bye.
This year we're going to go.